Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. It is July 22nd, 2014. We've got Jesse with us, and I'm looking to snag the rest of our moderators here. I see Larry has popped up there. Good evening, Sir Larry.
Well, hello there, Dave.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Let's see. We got Jesse here. I got to find Jeff and John, see if they're on here. But Terry is not
going
to be
with us. John said he's
going to
be late, Dave.
Okay. John is going to be late. Okay. Yeah, he called earlier, and I didn't get a chance to call him back. I was on the phone with Terry and going over some stuff. I was telling her about some stuff that I had going on today, and she was telling me about stuff that she had going on today. And
yeah, I read your email while I was on the road, so pretty cool. Pretty funny stuff. So anyway, I got some pretty good stuff that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Why don't you do
recap.
A disclaimer before we get off track?
Yes. I'll tell you what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to go do the disclaimer. Dave, you got to go over the rules again, and we're going to really have to set a parameter this evening. And this is going to go basically from here forward. We've done it in the past, and apparently we're going to have to start doing it again. And I know we got a lot of new listeners, and that's great. But, again, there's so many that a lot of them aren't even getting a chance to ask the call or ask a question on the call because of the long stories, the multiple questions, Jesse's rambling. So I know I'm part of that problem, and I promise you, Dave, I'll take care of that this evening, sir. So just make sure. Don't be offended if you get cut off. Please do not take it personal. At the end of the day, guys, you need to be very concise on your question. We don't need an entire background. Terry, I need an explanation of FCRA. I'm not going to go into explanations on FDCPA. And, you know, short, precise, to the point, because we get a lot of callers, and Dave made it very clear to me last week that, Jesse, we're missing a lot of people, a lot of hands still left up at 10. And unfortunately, guys, we can't keep going after 10. What happens is a ton of people start dropping off the calls at 10, and at the end of the day, it's just a long call for all of us anyway. So for you moderators, we know, try to make the same thing that I'm telling you now, just quick, concise, to the point. So without dragging on more, Dave, of course, the disclaimer is normal. Nothing on this call should be construed or taken as legal advice because we don't even know how to do that. Of course, we're going to have a lot of fun discussing legal information, legal matters, cases, the way they've affected us, new cases, and how they might affect you. But at the end of the day, we're not attorneys. We don't want to be attorneys. And if you really want to seek legal advice, the best thing I could do is tell you, go find yourself an attorney. So with that being said, Dave, you want to start off with some good news? And then I'll touch base on a little bit, just 2 or 3 minutes, on what I did all last week. Boy, a ton of hours. And go from there. So.
Okay. All right. And the stuff on the calls, I just want to throw this out right now. Very concise. We want to try and keep everybody's conversation to no more than about 5 minutes at the outside. And we realize once in a while there's a little bit more, but I'm going to put everybody's head on the chopping block, and the first one that's in line for that is Jesse, just so you guys know. And I've already told him I'm going to do that because we've got to get to more people. We really do. We're here to help as many people as we can, and we haven't been doing as good a job on that as we should. So we're going to make some alterations. So please, please be cooperative with us. And if I have to cut you off, I will. I don't want to, but I will try and be courteous if I do have to. So,
and just so that you know that there is salvation, there is a Monday and Wednesday call that you can go to as well.
And the forum. So don't forget, we have the forum. All the moderators, we have a lot of ways to be able to get your stuff done. So,
right,
just
that's exactly
that.
Correct. For anybody that does have good news and good news only, can hit the one key on your phone, and that'll put you in for good news only. Don't do that. If all you're going to do is ask a question, it is not time for that yet. So, the good news I have is. I last week filed case number 5 in small claims court against Midland Credit Management. They just don't seem to learn. Yesterday, they moved the fourth small claims case that I filed against them to federal court, so that's four of them. Evidently, they've decided they don't want to pay me right now. They haven't sent me a check, so I'm going to see about having a conversation with the attorney tomorrow. And then I don't want to get into much discussion about the other stuff, but I have a couple of other situations I'm dealing with where let's just say that there were a few stupid lawyer moments, and we'll just see where that goes. So that's the extent of my good news. Larry, Jeff, either one of you got any good news for us?
Not at the moment.
We've got some things in the works, but nothing I can discuss right now.
Okay. Well, hey, that's all right. If it's in the works, that means there's going to be something coming down the road, and that'll be a good thing. But anyway, that's my situation. Jesse, you had several things that you wanted to talk about, or do you want to finish good news first and then do that?
No, go ahead and wrap up the good news. We'll get into that here in a little bit, pal.
All right. Okay. For good news, then, we are going to go to 770. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, I have to compliment you guys again. I mean, I am so grateful for everything that's on this website. And I told you I go to bed listening to you guys call after call after call. After I've gone through everything once, is what's been a year and a half now, fighting the foreclosure. Then I had to start with the FDCPA stuff. So anyway, I went back to the calls again, and Dave, your voice came out loud and clear because they were supposed to answer today. The attorney part were supposed to answer. I served them. They had 21 days. I called the court. I was prepared because of you guys. I had my clerk's motion for default ready, and entry of default, and found out that I could file the motion for the default judgment at the same time. So I had everything ready to print out if they did not file it, and the court told me I could call and check before I brought it down there. So everything was ready to go, and the attorney calls me yesterday saying they're in Florida representing the attorneys. First thing out of his mouth is, I think we're going to quash service. We think there's an issue. But, you know, if you'll work with us here, we want to do a motion for extension of time. We want to extend the time and do it the same time that Nutter's going to respond on the 19th. We're just wondering if you'd be okay with that. And your voice came out loud and clear, Dave. I remembered everything you said on the call about, remember, if you need their help, you better, you know, be good about it. And I said, okay, I can work with that. And then he calls me today, back again today. There were four defendants that weren't served because they were fired by four default group, got rid of 120 employees, including 19 attorneys. Four of them were mine, so they didn't get served. So they now said today that they would accept service for those four, even though they don't work for the firm anymore, and then he would let me know how to get it to them, and that he's going to forget about quashing service.
Oh, well, hey.
So
that's interesting.
Good.
Yeah, that's very interesting,
but it's good, yeah.
Well, I think they were going by Florida rules, and since it's Georgia, it's a Florida attorney, their attorney in Florida. They have to find an attorney in Georgia. And the other thing that I think is really good news is something you and Jesse both said, and Jesse, I think it was you, that once they become a defendant in the case, see, both the defendant and the debt collector are being sued. The ones in the state case, and they're representing them in the state in the foreclosure case, but they're now both defendants in the federal case. And you said something. I thought you said something about they would have to get another attorney because that's a conflict of interest.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. Generally, yes.
So I thought this is awesome news because it's really going to mess them up.
Well, of course.
Well, that is good.
But I am just so grateful. I mean, there was somebody new on one of the on AFN the other night that was asking about what lies in your debt and how to do this and that. And I said, oh, just go here and go there and just do this and do that. And don't get overwhelmed. Just start with this. And I was able to at least help guide her because it is overwhelming. There's so much information. But I have one request. You know all the calls you have listed on the webinars? What, since I'm listening to so many of them, some of them have are related to different issues, and I thought if I could write down pretty much what the calls were about, is there any way we could post it so that we would know what they're referred to?
What do you mean, each one of these, or are you talking about the webinars that are in the website?
So the ones that are just case law, they're just the calls listed. It's not a category. It's just the calls by itself and under the webinars. There's a whole long list of them.
Oh, that just runs the gamut of things. That's what Larry does. There isn't anything
that's
specific.
That's open Q&A.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way really to do anything with them.
Yeah, there's no way to categorize those because they can run the gamut of subject matter.
Right.
Okay.
So,
well,
I could spend several hundred hours scanning through them and summarizing them, if you'd like.
Yeah. I just thought, while I listened to them, I wrote down the notes. I wrote down what was in it, and, you know, because I usually write down what's on the calls, I could at least, on the ones that I end up doing and writing it down, we could add it to that to make it easier for somebody to go through this.
You can if you want to do that. That'd be a fantastic little project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we had somebody do a study guide for all the webinars, and that's been posted, right, Jesse?
That's right.
It's great. Okay. The call, I mean, it's fantastic. That's really helpful, except the calls are still just calls. And I thought, you know.
Like they cover so much different subject matter, there's no way to categorize it. There just isn't. We're so busy with what we're doing now, there's no way we could even begin to possibly do that.
I'm not asking you to do it. I just thought, while I'm listening to it and taking notes, I could.
Yeah, do it. I said do it. You got my green light.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send them to Gary. Gary would be happy to just put it in there.
Well, thanks you again. Thank you again, guys.
All right. No problem.
Thank you.
You have a great day. Congratulations. It's awesome.
All right. And if you don't have a question, would you please hit the one key on your phone that'll take you out of the queue, too? That'd be great, please. Okay, that's all we had. If anybody else has got good news and good news only, hit the one key on your phone. Otherwise, we're going to go to Jesse's comments, and then we're going to go to Q&A. So,
yeah, guys, I sent out don't worry, Dave, but let me get rolling anyway. I sent out a case just for you guys that is up in the 11th Circuit, and I don't know who's read it, who's not read it, but at the end of the day, it has to do with the statute of limitations. And I know it's Florida-related. Larry, I don't know if you read that. I sent it to everybody. I don't know if you got a copy of that. But
yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. It's don't be afraid when you see 89 pages. Jeff, thank God, clarified for me. It's only like 30. So, because I was reading it, and I thought, oh, Christ, I'll never get through this thing, you know. Spells out a lot of good information on the SOL, which is just statute of limitations. And it breathes a lot of life into the foreclosure arena, not only for Florida, but pretty much everywhere, because of the explanation that it gives, and it differentiates the mortgage and the note, which is something that are two complete different things. But everybody always thinks of it as one, okay? And, I mean, that's pretty commonplace, unfortunately. It's just the brain. So read that. That is something that I suggest everybody take time to read. And also look at the footnotes. Look up the cases. I've already started on some of that. And as a matter of fact, if I get some time over the next 2-3 weeks, as I gather those, I might even do a whole webinar on that particular brief because there's just so much information on there. That's fantastic. Second, I had a very long meeting last week with a whole bunch of people, attorneys and guys and gals that are like mine, like us, and learned a lot of things. Something that I did get a little bit of good vibes was the quiet title procedure that I've always talked about and how to do it. After 4 years, I talked to an attorney, and guys, I promise you, we will have access to this attorney, to the membership, probably within the next 60 days, and that's going to be up to you. I personally want to teach you guys how to do it step by step because I'm in the process of doing it as we speak, and I've known about it, but it's got timing is of the essence. Timing is critical on anything that you do, but particularly this. When you do a QT, it's just very, very critical when, how, and whom is involved. So that is something I'm very, very excited about. Same thing, I probably wind up doing a series of that before the end of the year. The last thing that I thought was great news is talking to Jeff, our auditor. I spent a lot of time with him, which is the first time I've got to meet him face-to-face. I thought it was great. Awesome guy, full of knowledge. But if you guys can believe this, for those of you that have not gotten audits, he actually has been running across with frequency a payment history on the loans. So what he's done is, through several accidental findings and requests, I should say, from the SEC, he's actually come across these payments. And I'll give you an example. One of, 5,000 loans that he asked for the payment schedule on that was securitized into this particular bond says around the 40th month or something, 42nd month, paid in full. And he started wondering, what the hell is that paid in full? So he calls the SEC, he has this conversation, does what he's supposed to do, and he finds out that the loan had been paid in full, and they're trying to foreclose on the property. Another file, when he asked for the records, it came along with a canceled check on this particular loan that it had been paid in full. And so he's having a lot of success with that. And then what I'm trying to do is get him to do a webinar series on some of this material for our membership. So a lot of good things in the works, but I thought that in itself to me was absolutely mind-boggling. That he got the case
yes,
literally
is.
Dismissed. Yes, there was no argument. There's absolutely no argument. Zero. Goes right to court. The pro se hired an attorney immediately, showed the attorney. Attorney's like, holy crap. went in and had it dismissed on the fact that it's paid in full. Simple admission, is this loan paid in full? Was it paid in full? Yes or no? Simple yes or no. And don't lie. Because we have the proof. With certified records. Now, these are certified by the SEC. Because, all bond payments and cash streams and all that have to be reported to the SEC. All of it. Every bit of it. So, interestingly enough, he thought, well, this is another avenue. And the absolute results were blowing, mind-blowing for him. So, and then the last thing, Dave, is, again, I got a lot of gratification talking to a bunch of attorneys and explaining the ease of the FDCPA, yet the effectiveness it can have in a foreclosure case. And they were all absolutely mind-boggled that everybody isn't just using it to go after them. And, guys, remember when you do a QWR, I explained this to John earlier today when I was on the road, Dave. When you guys do a QWR, make sure you ask for your payment history. Because if you're late 30 days or 60 days, for some of you guys, some of us, it happened to me, 90 days late, and then you caught up your payments, that automatically by default qualifies them as a debt collector because the loan was in default and they accepted payment on it. So just bear all this in mind, all these little angles, and I promise you we're going to do a one hell of a jam-up webinar coming up that I'm going to do on the cases, my case, my particular three cases, and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. So. But that being said, I believe that not only is that a lot of good news, it's a lot of good information moving forward for the membership, which I'm very, very excited about. Very excited about.
Jesse,
sir.
Needless to say, I've done a lot of stuff, focused more over on the credit card side, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, we know that the just about all the credit cards are securitized, the cash
yes.
flows from those. I would assume then that they're going to have the same records of payments on credit card accounts available if you go to the right places, just like you do for mortgages.
Yeah, he's working on something like that. Yes, he's absolutely working
okay.
on something like
all
that.
Right.
So when I don't want the cat out of the bag. The other thing, just so you guys are aware of it, in that line of fire that this one attorney, he's successfully, by the way, has already done, I think, over 150 QTs, and one has been challenged. Because that's the loophole. See, once you get them, they know there's no way, there's no coming back. It's over. They're done. So now the note's there, and then you can just go do a BK7, get rid of that, and you're done. It's over. Okay. So if you guys, for the members that have been around a long time, you guys know I've been talking about this for a couple of years, and I've touched base or touched the surface, you know, scratched the surface on it, but I've never wanted to go into a lot of detail because I don't want to be out there screwing up their QT. When you do it right the first time. You got to worry about it. And I think we're there. So it's just going to be a little bit of time, and I'm going to make a big deal out of it because it is. But in that same line of fire, Dave, is student loans.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put this out there. I'm just going to put it out there, and then I don't want to talk about it no more. We'll move on. I don't want to hit any questions on tonight, guys. Zero. I'm just going to throw it out there. From what I found out from a few attorneys this last week is that there's only three securitization trusts, and every single student loan is in one of those three, every single one. And through this process, he has come to find out that not a single one has an assignment, a transfer, nothing, zero.
Wow.
And he has a very simple but yet very effective mechanism to get rid of them using the FCRA. So I the reason I don't even want to talk about it is because I don't even know the details. We were more focused on the bogus affidavits and assignments and all the other stuff that we're working on. So with that being said, I think that's pretty exciting. He said he's gotten rid of some big ones already with one letter, and they go away. They don't ever bother you again. So
That's great.
That
it's
going to
be an interesting
huge
fall and winter, isn't it?
Yeah, it's time to start gathering your nuts, guys, you know, right now, because it's going to be a long, cold winter. And you're going to need them, I promise you.
It's going to be a long, cold winter for the debt collection industry.
Very cold. I'm telling you, man. This week was just phenomenal. To have that kind of company and those kind of people involved that really, really, really know this in and out and have had success, again, saying like we do, here's the case, here's the check, you know, no problem. Here's the proof, in other words. It's not theory. This works, and it works 100% of the time. That is strong, man. That, it just doesn't get any stronger. So I'm pretty proud of that, and I'm proud that I could be in that kind of company. Let's put it that way. So wonderful week. Wonderful week.
That's super.
And
that's
it.
Super.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's enough.
Yeah, that ought to whet everybody's appetite for the moment, I'll tell you. I had talked to Jeff before in regard to the stuff with the credit card stuff, you know, and of course he's just been so busy focusing on the mortgage side.
Yeah.
He definitely had interest in going on the credit card side, and you know, somewhere along the line, I'd love to have another conversation with him. But I know he's tied up with what you guys are doing right now, so now surely not the time. So
yeah, it's a lot
anyway.
Deeper than America knows. So
oh yeah,
really, really deep. Yeah. And I think once you guys get a reality check, as I always say, it's going to mind. It's going to boggle the mind, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. Well, that's super. That's super that you got a group of people that are working on this stuff, and a lot of very, very good minds, and a lot of shared knowledge. That's, you know, and that's just like what we're trying to do with everybody. We're trying to share the knowledge with everybody and hope that everybody will help everybody else, and we create a very large community because there's strength in numbers. If everybody works strictly as an individual, you aren't going to have the success that you will if you're working as a group. So
I agree. I absolutely agree with you.
Yep. All right, we ready to go to Q&A?
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody
that has a question.
Yep, I was just going to mention it one more time. If you have a question, we're starting into Q&A. Hit the one key, please. New rules. We're going back starting tonight. When you come on, one question. You are going to be limited to one question, a very short synopsis of your situation, and we're going to give you a short, sweet, and to-the-point answer. We're not going to get into long discussions, and if Jesse gets long-winded, I get to mute him. So and that's kind of a delightful thought, but hopefully
it
I won't
is,
have
I'm
to.
Sure. My wife would love to be able to just mute me, I promise you.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm dead serious. We're laughing about it. But the whole purpose in this is so that we can get to far more of you. So one question, and then you're going to have to, you know, wait and get recycled again if there's time for that. But we just have not been getting to enough people. So summertime does get kind of thin. At times, but we've still had a lot of people we haven't gotten to, and that's not acceptable for us. So here we go. We are going to go to 630. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Sam from Chicago.
Hi, Sam.
Yeah, like we don't know that voice already, Sam.
question for you, Jesse. I'm helping a young lady that has a foreclosure that she's been involved in with Bank of America now going on 5 years next month. She has been in litigation with them, and they sent a strange letter to her attorney requesting to do a loan modification, and they said that they want a response within 10 days. And when she brought it to me, I said, it's kind of strange. I'm not really sure if you should jump all over this or not. Talk it over with the attorney, but if it were me, I wouldn't do it. They need to bring what's called a real offer to the table. And based on everything I've seen, that they don't have the ability to do that. And sure enough, yesterday they sent a letter to her telling her that she now has a new servicer. What does that mean in your view? I know you don't have a crystal ball. And do I add them to the federal complaint, the new servicer?
Well, the new servicer, federal complaint, I don't know what's going on with all that, Sam. So, you know,
okay.
And don't get into all that story because it's a whole different subject matter. At the end of the day, she just didn't do it. So, you know, just remember what I always say, Sam. If it's in her best interest for her and her family, then do it.
Right.
If it's not, then don't do it.
Right.
I can't tell you what to do. I really cannot. I don't even want to suggest it. And there's a reason for that. It's not my kids, not my home, not my spouse.
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
So just, you know, if it suits her, great. Just remember that when they do all that, make sure that they have followed the federal guidelines. Make sure that they have done the notice of assignments. That they have done the assignment, that you see an assignment of servicer. You know, I mean, do your new QWR to that servicer. And make sure she does all that through her attorney. Don't go on about it on her own. So, and then the last thing I'll have to do before Dave mutes me is to make sure that you ask her or find out if it's been securitized.
Okay. Yeah, she had it already done.
Okay. Yeah, because that's also very, very important.
Yeah, it was. They weren't the original credit. She did have a securitization audit done. They, in fact, was securitized. And Guinea is her claiming to be the owner of the note. So all that's been done. That was the reason why I suggested that. I just thought the timeline was so short, just 10 days.
Right, there's something weird with that. Yeah,
it was.
At the end of the day, they haven't violated anything. So, you know, there's nothing there that I know of they violated. So all she can say is no, or if it's in her best interest, take it up with the new servicer. That's really the only option she has at this point. So,
are they going to continue on with the foreclosure? And that doesn't matter that they got a new servicer.
No, it's irrelevant. But, you know, if they're going to continue on with it, then they have to prove their agency status, okay? It's not – remember, the federal – or the civil rules of procedure generally in every state are simple. It's just a replacing the party plaintiff, right? Well, if you think about this, this is one of the long discussions we had with the attorneys. How does that person conform to the FDCPA or that state and federal law, right, the Helping Families Save Their Homes Act. Because when they change, they're supposed to have, what, complied with all laws. And that never happens. It never happens.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
So just keep that in mind.
I will do that. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy.
All righty. Thank you, Sam. Okay. And I don't pull the trigger quite that quick, Jesse. But if you know if his voice starts getting shrill, everybody, you'll know that I'm pulling the choke chain on him. So, all right. Let's go to Sherry again. Sherry, did you have a question for us?
Yeah, a very, very quick one. Jesse, a couple weeks ago you said something about putting that safeguard complaint on the forum somewhere.
Yes.
And I looked for it and couldn't find it. Where did you put it?
Oh, you know what? I didn't get it on the form. I sent it out to – no, I did put it on the form. It has to be on the form. Steve had emailed Gary about it, and I did. Let me see.
I looked everywhere.
If not, I'll do it as we speak. Well, I apologize, sweetie. What I'll do is I'll make sure it's on there tonight. How's that?
That's great. And were you going to put saving your home or
– Yeah, saving your home. I'll put breaking and entering. How's that?
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Okay, sweetie.
All righty. Thank you, dear. Okay, and for those of you, once you ask your question and you're done, would you please hit the one key on your phones, which will drop you out of the queues there. That'll make things easier for me keeping track of what we're doing here. So let's go to 417. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I don't have a question, but I did want to make a comment that I've been in this, been at this since for years now, started at the ranch, and your program, from my opinion, is not the best out there.
Well, thank you.
It provides the three necessities or prerequisites, if you might, to guarantee success in anything that you do. So I just wanted to make that comment.
That was the absolute goal, was it not, Mr. David?
Yeah, absolutely. It sure is. And I'm very happy to hear that. Thank you. And that's an indication that we're meeting the goal that we have of getting the information out that people need. Right, Jesse?
That's right. And look, by the way, Sherry, it's on there. I just loaded it so I don't forget. I thought I had got on there.
Yeah, and one other thing, too, is that if you're going to do this, learn the court rules. Those court rules are absolute gold. They've got
everything
covered, and if you follow the rules, you can't lose.
Yep. We've said numerous times that where the attorneys get the pro se's, the great, 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 great majority of the time is on procedure. They will trip
That's
you
right.
up on violating the court rules, and they'll get their way. So if you know those rules very, very well, and you've got your evidence, you have a very, very powerful combination.
Precisely. So, and also learned something from the rules is that I've been very lucky in my childhood. My parents, for bedtime stories, they always read me Uncle Remus. And I don't remember which rule it is. I think it's 66, either 66 or 68, that I used that to get my aunts stricken. But it did the job that it was intended to do. And once you learn those rules, you can use them to your advantage. And the courts are also now recognizing that there's more pro se's coming in, and the opposing attorneys in my cases have always admonished the attorneys if they try to take advantage of a pro se situation.
Well, and that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your comments. We really appreciate it very much.
Anytime.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. And let's go. Evidently, we got a Skype caller here because all I've got is 111111. I got ones till they're coming out of my ears. And you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Is this this is Kim? Can you hear me?
Yes, Kim. How are you?
Okay. Good. Hi. I'm doing okay. Yeah. I forgot to unblock my number, so that's why that happened.
Oh, that's all right. We got you.
Yeah. Okay. Good. As you know, I'm preparing to file for bankruptcy to stop the sheriff's sale, and trying to get up to speed on all the rules and everything. And I just was wondering if maybe you could help me clarify a little bit what I'm doing exactly. You mentioned, Jesse, that I'm in appeal of the motion for summary judgment, so that's in the works, and that the appellate court would take the jurisdiction of the case would be in the appellate court as opposed to the bankruptcy court.
No, once you file bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
they all lose jurisdiction.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. So what that does is that postpones the sale, but it really doesn't allow the court up top to keep moving forward either.
Okay. So then the bankruptcy court's in play. So I'm wondering how to proceed then. Jeff mentioned that I can do, because I'm concerned about which bankruptcy to file. I don't have
you only do a 13. That's all you do
okay.
is a 13.
Well,
never do
and
a
I
seven.
Don't have a never do a seven. Okay, and I don't
do
have
seven.
Enough money to work out a plan, but I know that I do have evidence, from letters I've received from Bank of America where they admit they are collecting for someone else. So I'm,
yeah,
I'm just
but a
not
plan.
Sure.
You well, let me ask you a question. Do you want to continue on actually paying, or
no.
do you want to file the 13 just to kill the sale?
Just to kill the sale.
Well, you don't have to worry about a plan. All you're going to do is file that. 13, that notice of filing bankruptcy costs y'all of $74, because you're going to
okay.
take that into payments there. And then in the meanwhile, what I would do is I would use the website over the next 30 to 60 days that you'll have
mm-hmm.
to put together a nice FDCPA lawsuit against whoever it is that's messing with you. If it's BAA, then BA it is, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But whatever, if you got proof of this kind of stuff, then you need to move on. You can't sit idle. That's what happens. Well, you know. And in the meanwhile, the appellate court is not going to look at anything. So
okay.
that's the sad part. Generally, the appellate court, once the bankruptcy is done, it's done, right? So they have no more jurisdiction to do anything.
Right. So I can potentially stop the whole thing with the BK?
No, it will stop the whole thing. No ifs, ands,
or
buts.
Or just will. Even without having a plan, I mean, I guess I'm just
you don't
confused
need a plan.
About what the next step is. What's that?
The next, if you're not going to follow through with BK, you don't need a plan. All you're doing is using it as a tool. All you're trying to do is get the notice of filing. That's all you're trying to do. So once that notice goes into effect, everything comes to a dead halt.
And then but do I still have to file the paperwork and stuff a couple weeks later?
No, you would file nothing because you're going to let them dismiss it. Or you're going to move in and dismiss it yourself. You're only using
now,
it to kill the sheriff's sale.
Yeah, keep
right.
in mind, there's two sides to this. If you let them dismiss it, then it can stay in your credit record for 10 years. If you dismiss, you've got a good argument to get it taken off of your credit record if you manage to deal with things otherwise. You're in a better position if you dismiss rather than let the court do so.
Yeah, that's where I like to do it.
If I dismiss the bankruptcy, I'm confused about what I'm dismissing. And when
yeah,
am I
yeah.
going to dismiss that?
Well, if you get notice that they're going to dismiss it because you're now doing something, you beat them to the punch is basically what I'm saying.
I see. Okay.
Drag it out.
So they might do that because they're going to realize that they're going to...
Well, they might do that because you don't file a plan, but they'll give you notice, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You're going to get
plenty of
notice. Yeah, Larry made a comment there. Larry, say that again.
I said drag it out for as long as you can, but be aware of their deadlines.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm confused about. Like, I heard that.
You'll be noticed by the court.
What
you'll
part are you confused about?
I'm sorry, what you guys were both talking.
You'll be noticed by the court. What are you confused about? Hey, we're going to dismiss it. No, I'll hurry up and get dismissed yourself. There's nothing to be confused about. Pretty vanilla.
I was confused about the deadlines you guys were talking about and what
the court will tell you. You have such and such a date or it'll be dismissed.
I see.
And at that point, you know, well, I better get my butt over there because they're going to dismiss it. That's all.
Yeah, and don't wait till last minute. Have your paperwork, your notice of dismissal, all typed up. So all you got to do is date it, sign it, and file it.
That's right.
So when it gets dismissed, then how does that affect the foreclosure?
It can move on again.
Okay, so then I can start, if they schedule another sale, then I would do the BK again. Is that the plan?
Well, hopefully you won't have to. Hopefully it'll derail. And what state are you in?
I'm in Oregon.
Okay, it depends on the length and how busy they are. It could be, you know, I have a friend who did a BK on his sale date 3 years ago, and it's now just coming up for sale again now, three years later.
Yeah.
And what's his
name? Okay, well, we're getting long-winded here on this one.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, guys, well, thank you a lot.
Follow the rules. All right.
All righty. Yep.
Okay, I'll
I'm the bad
the
guy here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Well,
thanks.
Thank you, Jesse, and thank you, Dave.
All right. Oh, no problem.
And happy belated birthday.
Yes. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yesterday, you know, I told everybody yesterday, I got to tell you this, Jesse. There was a unconfirmed rumor floating around that I was born 67 years ago yesterday, but I have no first-hand fact knowledge of that, and I couldn't find anybody that has first-hand fact knowledge. There was a man I knew that said he was my father, but I have no first-hand fact knowledge of that. Same with the woman that said she was my mother. And seeing as how I have not been able to get any first-hand fact information as to when I was born, I'm just basically saying that I'm 36, not 67. So.
There you go.
And now he's going to start calling me a young punk. So anyway.
You're too big to be called a young punk. But, you know.
Okay. 240, you've been unmuted for your question. Go ahead, please. 240.
That's Marilyn.
You need to talk to us.
Sorry. I had you on mute myself. So can you
hear me? Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not sure if this is going to be relevant to your program processing, but I figured I'd just try and ask the question and see if you guys could direct me either yes or no. But I had a foreclosure and I had a short sale, and in the short sale there was a document from the lawyer from the HOA included that I did sign. I guess I was trying to get rid of the house, and it had been a big headache for me. And apparently that piece of paper that I signed was a judgment to seek the HOA fees that were not paid, which was about $10,000. It was a joint HOA, a joint purchase on the home. So the HOA was in two names, me and my ex-husband's name. So now, apparently, we tried to negotiate with them at the time, telling them we couldn't afford the $400 that they wanted at the time. And we just said, can we give you at least $25 until we get into our feet? And they said, no, you need to sign it the way it is. So we had to sign it. Well, we didn't have to, but we chose to sign it just to get rid of the house and get it over with. And I guess being semi-irresponsible, not following up to do some kind of payment,
You got to get to your question, please.
The question is, I got in the mail garnishment of non-wages from a bank that they went to see if I had any bank accounts. So is there anything that I can file in the court to stop that judgment and kind of like do it again, or it's already been done and now I can't do anything? I'm just got to figure it out.
Right. Sounds to me like she signed a confess judgment.
Exactly, yeah. Confession of judgment, right.
Right. Yeah, and there, it, when you voluntarily do
you
that, you're real tough to try and get out of it.
Yeah, okay. What state do you live in?
Maryland.
Oh, and Jeff, that's your hometown.
It's over.
Yeah.
Well, you could do a BK and get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
I thought that if you followed a BK, that the HOA does not apply to that. So that's why I never...
Baloney. Don't let them believe
no.
you.
No.
Or don't let them... No. You can follow
a BK
and get rid of all that crap.
They were blowing smoke up your skirt.
They're not dealing with an HOA now anyway. You're dealing with a confessed judgment.
Okay. So, all right. So I could go ahead and do that. Now, I don't need a higher...
Yeah,
lawyer,
you could do a BK7
that.
And get rid of it completely. How's that?
I'm sorry, which one?
Number 7.
Oh, okay. Can I do that with your program, or do I really need to hire a lawyer and with
no,
your program?
No, you really, really should hire an attorney to do a bankruptcy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that was my question. I appreciate your answer.
All right.
Thank
all right.
you very much.
Thank,
okay.
You bet. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to 863. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Whoa.
863, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a question about the servicers and the original.
We can barely hear you.
Sound muted, yeah. Muffled, not muted.
How about now?
That's a little better.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll just try to make it as brief as possible. Really easy. I'm sitting on a gold mine, but I'm really tired of the harassment. It's been going on for like 8 years. My loan went from Taylor Bean and Whitaker, that went bankrupt, to MERS, the Aqua Loan Service, and then it got transferred to one of your favorites, which is NationStar Mortgage, along with a $45,000 debt for a forced place escrow account for their insurance through the insurance company, and taxes and all that stuff has already been paid. I recently went to court. They filed a case against me for statutory judgment with a magistrate. I think that's about the cheapest role they could go. And my attorney got that postponed. But I've had an audit done, and my question is that according to the audit, Taylor Bean and Whitaker sold this note to Freddie Mac about 3 months after I signed the original note. I can't get any information from Freddie Mac. They refused to respond. And as far as the audit went, they said without taking Freddie Mac to court, they could not get any more information other than the note that transferred to Freddie Mac. Isn't Freddie
right.
Mac and Fannie Mae, aren't they responsible for the servicers they assigned for servicing that mortgage?
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, Freddie Mac and Gay don't own anything anyway. They admit
right.
that. They don't own any of these mortgages. So what I see is if you got that proven one way or another, right, that it was sold or transferred over to Freddie Fannie, for
right.
securitization purposes, and there's no assignment anywhere on public records. Did anybody find any of that?
Well, what happened was, like I say, it went from Taylor Bean and Whitaker to MERS.
Yeah.
MERS assigned it to Auckland. And
No. That's not what you said earlier. You said first that the note was assigned over to Freddie Fannie within weeks of you
yeah.
doing the mortgage.
That
that's
was,
what you said.
Yeah, that was
okay.
on the audit. That was on the
all
audit.
All right. So... is there any proof of this?
No.
Is
on
there
the
any
last
assignment?
On the last
well,
assignment.
I'm concerned with the first one because you don't let me finish my question.
Okay,
all
I'm
I
sorry.
Care about is the first assignment. Who assigned it first? Who was the first one to assign it?
Taylor Bean and Whitaker.
Okay. And who was the originator of that loan?
Taylor Bean and Whitaker. They didn't assign it to
okay.
Freddie Mac. They assigned it to MERS.
No, they didn't assign it to MERS. MERS cannot receive assignments. MERS does assignments.
Okay, they assigned it to Auckland.
Okay, so Whitaker basically did it. Did they assign the mortgage and the note or just the mortgage?
can't find out. They're out of business. The federal government is out of business for fraud and embezzling.
Okay, well, my point is, how do you know it was a sign then if you can't find out? It should be right on there. It's an assignment of mortgage or assignment of a note and a mortgage or assignment of a note. What is it?
I had the audit done, and it was supposed to be to the audit said. The audit was done by Paladine Audits out of Cheyenne.
Yeah, I don't even know who those are. I have no idea who they are.
Okay.
So that shouldn't matter.
They could go any further than Freddie Mac.
Yeah, yeah. The question is, you're not getting my question. My question to you is very, very simple and concise. When you look at public records, who is the assignment there going from whom to whom?
That's it. Goes from Taylor Bean and Whitaker to MERS, to Auckland, to Nation Star.
Okay, so that's what the public record reflects.
Right. Okay.
And you should be able to look. You should be able to look at that assignment.
On the last assignment.
Should be
in
his public record, right?
Okay. On the last assignment, from Auckland Loan Service to Nation Star, in a real small print, at the top of the assignment, it says, return this paperwork to Freddie Mac.
Right. That's not. I could care less about that. What we need to find out is where that assignment went first.
There's no public record of it.
So then it never occurred. You see where I'm going with this? Because if your attorney is...
I can't get Freddie Mac to respond.
You don't need to get anybody to respond. If you look at public records, what does your mortgage reflect? Whitaker, whoever the hell they are, it's out of business, right?
Yes.
That's all it reflects. It doesn't reflect anybody else. So why do you keep trying to bring in these other parties? Why is your attorney that much of a numbskull that he's trying to bring in other people that don't have anything to do with your mortgage? As far as you're concerned, they don't exist.
He's trying to say that MERS doesn't have the authorization to transfer or be an assignee for the note or the mortgage since they are just a registration office. They don't have the authority.
Yes, well, that argument's been done.
A mortgage through a
bankruptcy. Yeah, that argument's been done, buddy, 50 million times and has failed every time. The reality is this. He needs to go after the people who are on public record. If they do not respond, you just need to do a quiet title and quiet the title on that property. And again, quieting the title has nothing to do with the note, okay? It's just a mortgage. Remember that. So that is what I would do if I was him. I would go after the party that has no interest at all in what the hell happens in the courtroom and go show that to the judge and then get my quiet title. That would be
Auckland.
No. That would be it was whoever's on public records.
MERS.
You just said there's nothing in public records.
No.
Am I confused, Dave?
He keeps talking about what showed up in the audit, and Jesse has been very plainly saying what's in the public record. He's not asking you what's in the audit. It's what's in the public record.
The land records.
What does that mean?
That's what kind of...
MERS assigned it to... It says MERS was the assignee to Auckland.
Okay, so how did MERS get it?
Excuse me?
How did MERS get it?
I have no idea.
Is there anything in the public record that shows that it was assigned from... Taylor Bean and Whitaker to MERS.
No, there's no assignment.
Then Jesse just told you what you need to do.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a break in the, break in the title.
Yeah.
Well,
you may want to go back and listen to the recording of the call here, but we've got to keep rolling. We've got other people out here with questions.
I appreciate the information. And I am a member. It's just I don't have all the tools. I don't have any high-speed internet, so I'm trying to...
No, understood. What I'm trying to tell you is... You need to go after the person who's on public record, whoever the originator was. If they're no longer around, that's not your problem.
Yeah,
everybody else doesn't exist.
Taylor Bean and
Whitaker. Somehow, that's right. So work that out in your mind. Nobody else exists if they're not on public records.
Okay.
Got it? Just get that in your mind real good tonight and wallow around in it and think, what the hell does he mean by that? Just think about what I just said.
Chain of title.
Yep.
Not recorded. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry for the cha-ching telephone call behind me. That's Chase calling my cell phone.
Yeah, a little money for you, huh?
I've got Chase is calling me now. Who'd have thought?
Nice.
Oh, well. All right. We are going to go to 980. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hello?
Hello? We can hear you.
Yes. Oh, okay. Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
Oh, all right. This is Rael in North Carolina. I'm a new member. I don't want to be on the line too long to hold up for the other callers. I was just calling to find out if there's any way that I can receive an email from one of you guys.
Regarding what? What is it that you're talking
email
about?
Address.
We don't work individually with people, really. We have a hard time keeping up with what we got now. That's why
okay,
we have the calls.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So I guess I'll just...
Yeah, everything's available on the forum, so you can ask any question you want on that forum.
Oh, okay, on the forum.
For anybody.
The forum.
And they're all there.
All right,
we all check it every day, so...
That's yeah,
the
use the forum.
For
Yeah, use the forum, and then there's also my call on Monday nights, which I'll make the announcements at the end of this call, and then there's Terry's call tomorrow night, too, as well. Listen for those announcements and that information at the end of this call tonight.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right, you bet. Thank you. Okay, let's go to I want to check here. Come on. Let's go back and see if we got somebody at 682. 682.
Hey, guys, it's Keisha. I had to call you off on
my
home phone.
Oh, my goodness, it's Keisha. Good evening.
I know, I tricked you, so you didn't know it
yes,
was
you
me.
Did. Uh-huh. I should have known with that 682, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have...
What is your question?
First... Good news, first off, I just got another settlement today. Well, I did my offer, and so they'll send my check with 7 to 10 days. So for $1,000 for impermissible pool, so that was great. But my question is, now, I had a few pools on my credit report from Chase Bank USA in it. And when I was speaking with the vice president, she was basically telling me that, you know, they basically found that I had an account with Chase. And I told her, I don't have an account with Chase. Well, what actually, they said that since I am authorized signed on my son's account, that they're able to pull my credit. Is that...
Well, Larry, you want to hit that one, buddy?
Being an authorized user doesn't obligate you in any way. That doesn't mean that you have any kind of a credit relationship.
And
so
I
don't
said,
see
well,
how
that doesn't make sense. For, you know, he has a check, he has a high school account, and I'm there just in case something happens, you know, and I can do business with him, but I don't have an account with Chase. So...
I think it's not even
possible.
A credit card account, it's a bank account?
It's a bank, it's a checking account. No credit card or anything.
So what is the credit transaction that happened that allowed them to pull your credit?
There wasn't any. That's what I kept telling her today. I said, "There, it doesn't make a difference on if there's a checking account or not." I said, you pulled my credit, you know. I said, and there's no I didn't apply for insurance. I don't have an account with you. You haven't sent me a pre-screen offer. I said, so I didn't apply for employment. There's no reason for you to have pulled my credit
they pulled
report.
They pulled your credit after the account was set up, not
yes,
at the time of?
Yeah, after the account was set up, 5 times.
And I'm assuming the account is not overdrawn or there's no issues with
no.
it, correct?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, tell her she owes you $1,000.
Well, Larry, I would make it even more than that and say an attempt to collect some unknown alleged debt, and it'd be worth at least two grand at least.
Yeah, it makes sense. Do that.
Okay, so I was just like, that doesn't make sense to me. I didn't get that. So I thought,
do exactly that. Draft a lawsuit. It's going to be about 10 paragraphs. It's going to say that they made an unauthorized pull of your credit, and they're attempting to collect a non-existent alleged debt, and send it to her.
Okay, I'll go back and I'll do that. She told me that I was attempting. Listen to this. I was attempting to extort money from them by them. If somebody did apply for, because I told her I didn't apply for credit. If somebody did apply for credit, it's not their responsibility to know who has applied for a credit account if they have received information for a credit transaction. So they are not liable. I told her, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not liable.
Can you say this? Is that the pot calling the kettle black, trying to extort?
Yeah, really.
Tell them to just send you
right.
a check, okay? Just tell them to send you a check and give it up, okay? And be done with it.
Yeah, not only that, I would send her an email and just asking her to confirm that she believes that what you're doing is extortion and see if she responds to that.
The email that I sent earlier, I just told them, you know, basically, you know, I'm not attempting to extort any. I said, let's be clear, I'm not attempting to extort any money, you know, from them. And then I told her, basically, I am merely protecting my private right of action that the law, you know, gives the damages according for my, you know, going into the statute for the FCRA. I said, so.
Yeah, but you're not getting what I'm saying. I want her to respond to that in writing, and if she does, then I'm going to tell her that she's probably committed libel and slander against me, and as part of a lawsuit, I intend to explore that avenue.
Yeah, that's worth at least $4,000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, because it's not just her. She's probably talked to other bank employees and, you know, sent them emails, so you're going to get all that stuff, and if she did that, then you're going to accuse her of libel and slander.
Okay, I see. I was just like, what? Extort what?
Yeah, don't mess with these people. She's she's playing games with you, and you're not going to have it, are you?
No. That's why I said, let me get on the call tonight and ask, because this is crazy. So now, would it be, okay, so let me end with this. So would it be a set, because what I did with them was settling a I was looking at settling an agreement with them today for a credit transaction that was an impermissible pull, but then these came up. So she said that we could settle this and then we can do those separate, or should I just go ahead and wait and do all of them together?
If you try a settlement agreement, it's going to encompass everything. Dave's
exactly.
about to tell you.
Okay.
We can't,
that's what I
we
was
can't keep going.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We
okay.
got to roll.
Thanks.
Thank you, Keisha.
Uh-huh.
All right. We got to go to 410. 410, you've been unmuted.
Hi, this is Erin from Western Maryland.
Hi, Erin.
I have a question. Hey, I've got a question about actual damages on an FCRA case. It's a soft pull. How do you prove, the attorney is asking me to provide in the interrogatory damages, proof of damages, or actual damages?
You don't have to have the actual damages, so you're entitled to statutory damages under the private right of action.
Okay, so that's just how I answer it?
Yeah, tell him. He's trying to buffalo you and put you in a corner and make you think that, oh, well, gee, I don't have any actual damages, so I don't have a claim. No, there's no requirement that you have actual damages to receive the statutory damages under the FCRA. Absolutely not.
Okay, because they're asking for medical records and medications. And
no.
You take them,
did you
take that?
Did you claim actual damages?
I think in my wherefore statement, I painted a broad brush, a broad picture with a brush.
Okay. Well, Jeff asked you a specific question, and you gave a nebulous answer. Did you state that you made a claim for actual damages?
I believe I did. I did both for actual and statutory.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's one thing that I want everybody to hear. Don't ask for things that you're not entitled to, because this is the road that you end up going down. When you make a claim for actual damages, they're going to want you to document those actual damages. And that's why you're getting the requests for your medical records and everything else. Well, you said you have actual damages. Okay, well, you got to prove it. And when you didn't actually have any, what you've done is opened the door and walked through it into a room that you don't want to be in.
Well, it's okay to drop it, though, if you can't demonstrate it. But another thing, and I don't disagree with you, Dave, but you always want to put attorney's fees in there just in case you end up with an attorney.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you, Larry. But the actual damages on the FCRA stuff, the only place you're going to be looking for actual damages under the FCRA is, if they had derogatory information, you were denied credit, and it damaged you somehow, some way on that. But you don't have anything regarding credit pulls at all.
Okay. All right. So do I drop that in an amended complaint?
Yeah. Well, what count did you do? Was it a separate count for actual damages?
Yeah.
Then she could just do a motion and make sure
motion
you tell them.
Motion to dismiss that, yeah.
Yeah, and unopposed
get rid
motion
of,
to dismiss.
Then don't do amended complaint. That's a waste.
Yeah, don't amend the complaint.
Right.
Just drop that count. Talk with the other side. Tell them what you want to do. They'll say, of course, yes. And then you do an unopposed, and make sure you put that on there, unopposed motion to dismiss count two.
Okay.
Three,
or whatever
count.
The number is.
Yeah. That way the judge won't have a problem finding it.
Count two, plaintiff's claim for actual damages. That's what you're seeking to dismiss.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome. Okay, let's go to another, evidently a Skype caller here, or somebody's got their number blocked. We're going to 1111111111.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi. Hello?
Go ahead. You're with us. We can hear you.
Okay. Sorry, wasn't sure.
Can you get off your speakerphone?
No, but is that better?
That is better, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Two questions. The first one is, I got involved with this online training, which cost like $5,000. I won't give the name, but they promised that it would work in California, and it ended up not working. And I actually, they kind of sold it saying, this is you can just sign up for the class and it's not going to, we're not going to charge you. So I just signed up and then I called a couple days later and came out and said, no, I don't want to do this. And then, it ended up on my credit card and then there was this big dispute and, they said I didn't have a cancellation number. And so I ended up paying for this. It's over a year ago. It's in California. I'm in California. They're in California. Do I have anything that I can do to protect, to go back and do this, to get my money back?
Well, didn't you dispute it with the credit card company?
I did, and they just came back with some evidence that I didn't have a cancellation number. And my credit card company didn't really, they just said, okay, you didn't get a cancellation number and they didn't credit it.
And you just left it at that?
I did.
Okay.
Actually,
all
you
right.
know what? I did try to. Yeah. I shouldn't have, but I did.
Okay. Really, you didn't get anything for what they charged you, right?
Well, I did contact them and say, okay, my credit card.
No. I'm saying, did you not get what you paid for? You didn't get anything for what you paid for?
No.
Well,
it was just terrible.
Well, then you have a breach of contract issue. They charged you, they took your money, but they didn't provide something to you.
Correct.
So you could sue them for breach of contract.
Can I do this on my own, or do I need an attorney, or how do I, and what's the statute of limitations?
You'd have to do your research to find out what the statute of limitations might be on something like that. If you don't know anything about using the courts, one alternative might be, depending on the limit, if you're talking $5,000, that probably fits into small claims in California, I would guess. So you could bring an action in small claims court, and which is, you know, informal, but you still need to study up and know the rules.
Okay, great. Okay, and then my second question is, I got this parking ticket, and I disputed it, and somehow it ended up getting all these fees, and now it's over $200, and they're saying that I cannot get the fees removed. Do I believe them, or is there any way to dispute a parking ticket?
Well, we don't really deal with parking issues. We deal with debt collection issues. You know, is it a debt collector trying to collect it? Have they
it
turned
may
it
be.
Over to a debt collector?
I believe, yeah, I have to look at the latest mailings from them, but I believe it is a debt collector.
Okay. Well, then you just pursue them the same way that we do. Are you a member?
No, not yet. I just started listening to the calls.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then you'd get in there if you're dealing with a debt collector. Go get your membership set up and go into taking their money.
Okay.
I'll show you what you need to do, how the violations occur, and how you can go about going after them. And then we've got the calls on Monday and Wednesday nights. If you're brand new, get into the website, start studying that stuff. When you got questions about what you're dealing with there, you know, you look at your paperwork and stuff, you can come on Monday or Wednesday call, and there'll be more time for us to discuss the situation with you. We're just limited on this call. Okay?
Oh, yeah, I understand. Okay, thank you.
All righty. Thank
Bye.
You very much. All right. Everybody's doing pretty good tonight. Let's go to 832. 832, you've been unmuted. Go ahead. It's your turn.
Yeah, it's for Jesse. Jesse, regarding the default, if you're late on a payment, say it's due on the 15th, you pay it on, say, the 25th, is that considered it being the default?
That depends on what your mortgage reads.
Okay.
You got to look at the language. You know, some
gotcha.
Of them will say it's considered default after the 10th, after the 5th day, after the 15th day, after the 20th day, after 30 days.
Okay.
You got to read your mortgage. They're all kind of different.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thanks.
Okay, buddy.
All right. That takes care of you. That was short, sweet, and
yep.
to the point. Very good.
Yep.
All right. Let's try to get off that. Let's go to 703. 703, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi, sir. How are you? Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We just want to give you very brief information about my case. I have a construction line of credit. That was I foreclosed. They scheduled foreclosure on a for Chapter 11 with the lawyer withdrew, and then I converted, it was converted to Chapter 7. I have to fight for it. All, it was a bogus claim, everything, all recording, everything. I find it wrong. But the substitute trustee was appointed wrongly by somebody that is not lender. The assignment was wrong. The affidavit by lender, what is what claimer was wrong. Everything. I find that it was some kind of just set up to foreclose or steal the house. And I object to everything. I just object to the claim. And they try to say that, okay, you are in Chapter 7, they give it to Chapter 7 trustee, and trustee is so eager, even if it is my house is by, entirety, it's filed with my husband, it's protected and they cannot sell it, but she is so eager to find a way, to find a way to sell the house. And I want to sue them. I want to sue the lawyer, trustee, the those who claim all these claims, because I tried so many times. I never admitted. I said that you are not the lender. You are not owning the note. You don't have a right for foreclosure. I told them everything, and they don't hear me. Even I filed for the...
Yeah. Well, what is your question? We need to get to your question.
I want that right now. I want to know: should I go ahead and sue them? Because my next court date is that they want to find out if they can sell my property. It's going to be on October, and I want to know if I should go ahead and sue it and file a dismiss again. And what is my best option right now?
Dave, I don't want to give one.
I'm sorry.
We can't give you. You know, I let it go this long, but really, without knowing every detail and who did what and how it was done and what exact, but it's impossible for us to say, yeah, sue him, and it would be irresponsible for us to say, yeah, I'd go after him.
Yeah, there's way too much that's happened.
I did an adversary, and they dismissed the adversary complaint. They dismissed it. They don't want to do any, go through the evidence, anything, discovery. They dismiss any kind of discovery. They just say that that's it. You have to deal with us.
We just don't, we have no idea what all has transpired, and it's virtually impossible for us to even make a good suggestion on what you should do, because we just don't know enough about your situation. You know, based on what you said here, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened, but we just don't know the details.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I think really should happen is that you should be talking to your attorney to find out exactly.
Unfortunately, I don't have an attorney now, and I am dealing with everything by myself. I cannot hire an attorney because all my money is in trustee, and it's really hard for me. I have to figure out that. I think my best option is that just to sue them and go, because it doesn't make sense. Nothing.
The thing that you just have to keep in mind is you can't just go and sue somebody. You have to know specifically what you are suing them for, and you have to make sure you have it right, because if you don't do it properly, they can come back on you for filing a frivolous lawsuit, and you could have more trouble on your hands than you have now.
Yep.
Okay, I disputed this based on the FTC CPA Act, and I said that I want you to show me the fact, everything, and even though they don't listen, they ignore it. They ignore my FTCP, but it's just my dispute. Notice of dispute I gave it to them. They ignore that.
Well, like I say,
they have
it's,
a civil violation, they have a wrongful violation, they have a wrongful.
We understand that, ma'am. Yeah, ma'am. We understand that we just, given the fact that we just don't have enough detailed information, we really can't even make a suggestion on what would be the best course of action for you, because it sounds like your case is extremely convoluted and what you've done with doing a Chapter 11 and everything else. So I'm, as much as I hate to say it, we just cannot make a suggestion on what you might what course of action you might take.
Can you tell me which part of your site or which part should I go and study and I figure out it myself, find it out what is the best for me? Which part should I
taking
study?
Taking their money. Taking their money section by no doubt about it.
Right.
Okay,
taking their money. Yep.
That's fine.
Okay.
And okay. Thank you.
I am so
all right.
sorry.
Thank you,
you
very
know,
much. Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds very distraught, and I don't blame her. But damn it,
yeah.
It would be absolutely irresponsible for us to say do this or do that without knowing those details. You might wind up in more trouble. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And I hope everybody understands we're very sensitive to that, and we surely don't want to send anybody in a direction that's going to get them in a sling. So.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to go to 316. 316, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Hello?
We got you. Go ahead.
Hello.
Okay. I'm in the state of Kansas, and I've got some questions on my Kansas definitions for TCPA or Kansas No Call List Act, and trying to figure out what statute I need to go through to find out what I need to in my amended complaint or in my complaint, and I maybe get a little insight on what I should look at or go through to decide what to put in there is my question.
David, do you think that it might be a good idea to have him on a call tomorrow with Leroy?
With Leroy?
Is it Leroy in Kansas?
Yeah, it's Leon, yeah.
No,
Leon?
Leon?
Yeah.
That is Leon.
Yeah.
Speaking.
Oh, that is
Leon.
Yeah.
You
how
sneaked
you
up on me.
Good
you
try, Jeff. Good try.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to help, yeah.
That's right.
But, you know,
I guess
you're...
it's really, that's a tough question because you don't have that in front of you to see what the statutes are. So that's probably an impossible question to ask.
It well, really would it, be. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you and I have gone over this stuff. And like I have told you, we got to sort out exactly which one there is that whether you have an overlap between federal and state, and
uh-huh.
and what Leon is wanting to do is bring the state statutes in, because the damages are on the state statutes are very, very substantial in Kansas.
So why wouldn't you just plead them separately and distinctly, Dave?
Well, could I make a suggestion?
Hold on,
well,
Jeff. Let me finish
again,
this question.
Yeah, just a second. What basically, he's filed a complaint, and it's at the stage where they're waiting on a ruling on the motion for stay over the TCPA nonsense, and he's wanting to prepare an amended complaint to bring those in. And I agree with you, Jesse. Those would be brought in separately.
Yeah. So worst case scenario. Well, worst case scenario, all he's got to do is file a separate lawsuit with the state issues. That's all. I mean, that's it. That's worst case. Doesn't matter.
In the interim is when I found these other statutes after I'd already filed my suit. I didn't even know these statutes existed, and they're substantially more for the no-call list than the other as far as that goes. And that's
yeah.
why
well,
I want.
Yeah.
I need to amend my complaint or whatever I need to do.
Right. Yeah, and for everybody's benefit, Leon, tell them what the damages are per call under the state statute. How much?
In the state of Kansas, it's $10,000 per call, and then for the no-call list, it's $10,000 per call because it's an unconscionable act under each statute, and different states have different ones. In some states, only the attorney general can bring suit, but in other states, it ranges from $200 to $12,000 per violation. So if you have a violation, it's very good for you to look and see what your state statutes say, in order to put that into your suit. It's a substantially different amount. And as through my research, I found that the TCPA statute and the amounts there are a basis for what the states could use, and that's how they came to the conclusion of what violations were in each state. And so I've, as through researching and researching and researching, found these other statutes.
Wow. See, one of the things you may want to do is you may want to Google and see what kind of case law for those statutes you can find and how it was used.
I found the case law, but the case law doesn't apply as far as the suits that I found were on class action suits, and class action suits don't allow for the Kansas violations. So class actions can only go the amount of the TCPA, not what the statute is individually for a person violated.
So there's no case law on this, on the state statutes?
The case law would be not for the amount, but the case law is for some other class action lawsuits that I found. But I haven't found any cases or anybody sued for as an individual on these damages, amount of damages.
Okay.
Yeah, and I hope everybody... Yeah, I hope everybody has taken note, and why I asked Leon. Leon is a friend of mine, so everybody knows, to make a point that you can find a lot of stuff in your state statutes, and everybody should be paying attention to them, because there can be a lot of found money in those state statutes that you don't know is there if you don't do the research. And I've actually turned him into a research nut. He used to be intimidated by the courts, and I think everybody can tell he's no longer intimidated. And in fact, he drives me crazy with all the stuff that he comes up with and emails to me all the time. But it's a good kind of crazy, and he's done very well. He's come a long way. So anyway, I'll get with you some more on that, Leon.
All right, okie doke.
All righty. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
All right. Let's go to 404. You've been unmuted.
Hey, evening, guys. This is Thomas down in Georgia.
Hi, Thomas.
Hey. Wanted to give you an update. Jesse, I've got an FCRA suit against the four CRAs and an alleged servicer and an unknown entity. And,
okay.
I got hit.
What was the allegations? What were your allegations? I'm just curious.
Okay. Impermissible pulls for one of the CRAs and the alleged, well, the unknown entity. And then failing to give me my full file disclosure from the CRAs. And then the dispute process, failing to take the steps to ensure complete maximal accuracy and failing to investigative steps. Those.
So what does that have to do with the servicer? That's the reason I'm asking you. What's that got to do with the servicer?
Oh, because the servicer is not a creditor, and so they're not
reporting
a creditor in the information. They're not furnishing the name of a creditor. So I disputed that with the bureaus as well as with the furnisher, saying, hey, you know, you're not a creditor of mine. And so the bureaus have responded, you know, I'm getting answers to my service of summons. Not answers, I should say, they're waiving service of summons. But what I wanted to pass along was is that the alleged servicer, the furnisher, came right out of the bat saying this is a frivolous lawsuit, and it seems like you're trying to say you don't have a mortgage and all that stuff. But I just countered and said, look, all I'm saying is that this entity is not a creditor of mine. And so
what are they telling you?
That she just wanted to rep. Once I said, look, they're not a creditor of mine, she goes, I don't want to argue this anymore. And sent me an email that saying it said, this, so your position is that such and such is not a creditor. And I replied back that, yes, according to my paragraph, blah, 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 in the complaint, so-and-so is not a creditor of mine, as that term creditor is defined in the FCRA. And
okay.
Yeah, so I just wanted to pass that on because I know on the forum you had mentioned something about approaching it that way as well. My question is that something has stumped me that and I'm asking because I got to get a good night's rest tonight. And I don't want to stew on this stuff, but okay, so I sent, what I did was the waiver of service of summons and gave everybody 40 days. Three of the entities have waived service. Three of the CRAs have waived service. I have not heard from the fourth yet. We're approaching the 40-day. But one of the CRAs filed an answer with a motion to dismiss already. And according to the rules of civil procedure for the 16F, I'm supposed to do that within 16 days of an answer with all parties, but all parties haven't answered. And attorneys are signing the waiver of service, but then I'm getting contacted by colleagues. So,
okay, I'm perplexed. You got to repeat this again.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Dave, yeah, I'm like, are you getting this or not, Dave?
I'm a little confused. I mean, he's talking about he's done the waiver of service. I understand that.
Yes.
Most of them have answered. Three out of the four. I'm assuming the fourth one is a Novus or something like that.
No, actually it's TransUnion. TransUnion.
Well, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian are the three majors. Who is the fourth one?
A Novus.
Oh, well, okay. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. But it,
is it one lawsuit
it is
or
not.
Three or four?
I'm sorry, John.
Is it
one lawsuit?
Yes, it's one
well,
lawsuit.
That's what it is. Each party, as they make an appearance, they can make an appearance and do an answer, and they can do a motion to dismiss. You know, they can do whatever. And if you've got four different parties you're going after in one suit, you can be facing four different motions to dismiss from four different law firms. So
yeah,
that's
okay.
Just part of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, that goes with what we say all the time, be careful how many people you sue in one lawsuit, because you could have a paperwork blizzard.
Yeah, I'm okay with, I mean, it's a pretty simple suit. It's not a whole lot. But I just didn't know as far as when I go to the 16, it says that the local rules state that when one of the parties answers, you now have 16 days in which to do your 16F conference.
You mean the 26F conference?
26F, I'm sorry.
Right, 26F. Okay, yeah. Right, that's
so
your scheduling conference.
Yes. And so what I'm confused about is does that mean I do them as individual 26Fs with each party?
There's two parts to the whole thing. There's your kind of meet and greet conference where you discuss things related to the merits and the defenses they have against your claim. And then there's the one where you actually talk about the scheduling of your court case and when you're going to do discovery and everything. So you can pick up the phone and meet the first part just by having a meet and greet saying, hi, you know, it's John, I'm the plaintiff, blah, 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 I'm suing you, let's have a little discussion. You know, based on the situation, you know, thank you for answering, but I haven't heard from the other parties yet. Therefore, we can really kind of motion the court to postpone the 26F conference until all parties have appeared. And that's a reasonable one, okay? And since if anyone who hasn't made an appearance yet, you don't really have to even send them a copy of what's going on. The ones that have made an appearance, you probably want to have that little informal discussion about who you are, how to reach you, what the merits of your case is, and what, you know, their defenses are. And the main point of that is a settlement.
Okay.
In fact, the other parties haven't appeared. I want to do a joint motion to postpone the 26F. And they'll agree with that. And then one of them will probably draft it because they can make a buck or two.
Okay, because that's what Experian filed. They filed an answer with, that included a motion to dismiss, and I didn't think that you could do both.
Well, there's not really – chances are that's not really a motion to dismiss. That's just language that they put in at the end of it, and they asked the court to dismiss it.
Okay.
It's not really a motion to dismiss. That's an answer.
It's an answer, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're going to find that kind of stuff is fairly standard at the end of most answers.
Yeah.
Larry, you had something you wanted to throw in there?
No, not me.
Oh, okay. Thought I heard you start to say something.
Yeah.
They're always going to say, "Oh, well, this is just a bogus claim, and the court should dismiss it."
That's standard protocol. That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's what I was just wanted to share. Mainly was about what how the alleged servicer responded was like right off the bat. Are you saying you don't have an account with such and such? And I just was like, hey, I want to stick to the FCRA complaint and the four corners here, and you know, let's talk about you pull, you know, your client pulling my credit without a permissible purpose and furnishing inaccurate and incomplete information, and that kind of got it back on target. So,
yep, there you go.
Okay, well, thanks, guys. One thing I did want to shout out, if anybody's familiar with Pete Hendrickson, his wife is presenting her defense tomorrow in a civil contempt, and if you're aware of his work and everything, I just maybe everybody can.
Yeah, Doreen. Yeah, she's got her trial tomorrow. It started today, did it not? The 21st, David's birthday, 21st, correct?
It started yesterday.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, she's going up in front. She's putting on her defense tomorrow from 9 to 1:30. So I know some of you guys know about her and everything. So just wanted to keep that in mind. And happy belated birthday, Dave. You guys have a good night.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Not bad, Dave. How do you feel being 36?
Hey, I tell you what, I'm just as spry as I can be. Man, you know.
That's right. You are, bro. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to 973. 973.
This is Lisa. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Good evening.
Okay. Good evening. How are everybody? How is everybody?
Good.
I have a question. I spoke to David yesterday regarding to my case that I filed. The answer. And I don't have it. After I filed the answer, I don't have a chance to send my three documents, the verification of the debt and notice of dispute. I went to the court today to file a motion of continuance of the trial for 90 days. So they gave me all the documentation, and I also asked them, is it possible that I can amend my answer? Because in my answer, the only reason that I denied was the amount is incorrect. So what is the steps that I can get to amend that answer? Can I send those three documents with my answer? Because when I go next time to file the amendment for my answer, I got to bring those three documents. Is that correct?
No, the other one you're talking about the dispute, and you're talking about the sworn denial, right?
Yes.
Okay, those are all separate documents. They don't have anything to do with each other.
Okay.
Those, like we talked about last night, those could have and should have filed those today if you were there.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Because
either.
I have to come back. They actually told me that I have to let the other party know that I'm getting that continuance. I am asking for the 90 days, and they need to have an answer if they agreed or not. Either way, so I still got to put my motion in there, but they want to make sure that I called in, and they they accept or deny it.
Right. Now, hang on a second. I just want to clarify on this other stuff. These other documents, filing them into your case, has got nothing to do with that continuance. You need to get them in there immediately.
Okay.
There's no connection to those other things.
In connection. So when I do the amend to my answer, So I will deny everything.
That's what you want to do.
So because
you don't just say you deny everything. You go through in the complaint. You take each point, each paragraph that they say. You know, paragraph one says, "Oh well, you had this account," and paragraph two says, right. Okay. You got to do it for each individual paragraph.
For individual. Okay.
Right.
And the thing is, when I was asking about the whole tutorials or discovery, I'm hearing the billing credit card companies, and I don't see anything about it. And I was wondering, is any specific area that I can go? Because I'm in webinar archive, billing the credit card webinar archive, and it doesn't show anything about the discovery procedure that I have to work on, that I have to study.
Okay, I'll let John address that because he's the one that did the webinars. He can tell you exactly where they are and what you need to look at.
Dave.
John?
Which one? Discovery?
She's needing to get in and study the discovery.
Okay, she's being sued?
Yes.
Yeah, it's right in there. We've got discovery that shows when you are doing the suing and when you're being sued, and it gives samples of the discovery, interrogatories, requests for production, and admissions that you can send to the party that's suing you. And I've got another one that goes over how to respond to discovery requests that come to you, how you can object to it, but you don't want to just do frivolous objections on everything. You want to have a reason why. So you need to listen to the webinar once or twice. And then as far as when you do discovery, they probably will try to avoid to answer. And we have a webinar on how to compel discovery, on how to go to the court and tell them, look, these people aren't playing fair. They're not answering. And you have to make an effort before you go to the court to settle things yourself. So it's covered completely. And then the last one will show you when they try to do the same to you and say you didn't answer and go to the court to make the court make you answer, how to handle that. As long as you keep playing ball back and forth like tennis, they're less likely to run straight to the court. So
Where can she find that in the website?
I think that is just in the – we've got one general section under the webinar archive. If you just search discovery, it should come up. I can look real quick. I don't think it's under beating credit cards.
No, it should be in the webinar archives.
Yeah, you're right.
I know, but there's
the archives.
The archives are broken down by different sections like beating credit cards and stuff like that. One second, and I will tell you. I'm sorry for not knowing off the top of my head.
No, that's okay. I'm so glad at least you will be able to help me.
Well, you're helping yourself by doing the studying. That's the important part.
That's right.
Oh, thank God for that, but I guess I'm slow learning, so and I keep confusing myself, and try. That's why I'm repeating question, I guess, to you guys. I'm already spoke to you since last week.
Just remember one thing: eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Okay.
You know, don't try to go too fast. You know, study as quickly as you can.
I'm so here. That's the reason that I'm going here back and forth, and I went to all the entire website, using the website and archives and everything. He said, where is it? I saw John Hatt somewhere, but I couldn't find it.
When you go to the webinar archive and look under the Taking Your Money webinar archive, about halfway down the page, you'll see discovery.
There you go.
Event, half of the way. The last bottom is June 18, 2014. Study case TCPA dealing with motion to dismiss.
No, you got to look for discovery. You look for discovery
in
there.
Oh, no, it's not discovery.
It's the one that says taking their money webinar archive.
Yeah, I'm here and taking their money webinar discovery.
Scroll down.
I got it.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And then somewhere recently it was sent out, there's a check sheet that shows you all the different webinars and what downloadable parts there are to it.
The
so
study
you might
guide.
Want to look at that. Yeah, the study
right.
guide. That was
webinar study guide.
Study guide. Okay,
yep.
So I will check on that. Thank you
Alrighty.
Very much. I appreciate your help.
All right.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
It's discovery
You're
part
welcome.
Four that you want. Part
yes.
four.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, let's go to 773. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Great. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, I got a quick question, guys. Okay, I'm done going crazy, or we got some really, really ridiculous attorneys out here, which I already know that second part is true. Have you guys ever heard of an affidavit being valid if it's not notarized? Have you ever heard of that?
No, it's not sworn testimony.
Right. A declaration
is different. Yes.
Right.
There's an attorney who sent a document for, it was a motion to strike affidavit, and they did not have them notarized with a debt collector from the vice president of operations, as well as the vice president of, they call it Telefonsi. And neither one of them in the affidavit talked about, you know, anything regarding their so-called experience or personal knowledge of this situation with the TCPA violation. But anyway, the bottom line is, I'm not going to waste your time with this because I already knew the answer. I just want to hear from you guys because they swearing that they don't have to have a notary affidavit because of something they're talking about because of a memorandum. Talking about because of local rule 105.1. I said, what the hell is this?
Well, did you go look at local rule 105.1?
No, I did not look at it.
Well, there you go. You got to go look at that stuff. There is a difference There's a difference between an affidavit and a declaration. A declaration does not have to be notarized. An affidavit does.
Yeah, but they titled it affidavit.
Okay, well, then they've got a problem.
Yeah.
You still need to go look at that rule.
Yeah, go look at the rule and see what it says.
And one other thing. Have you checked with the affidavits that are inside the case file to see if they might be notarized?
They're not notarized at all.
The ones that are inside the case file?
On Pacer?
No, they're not. They're not. They just submitted them last week, and they're not notarized at all.
Move to have them stricken.
Yeah, the motion to strike the affidavits were sent, and they just sent the opposition. They just sent out an opposition regarding the motion to strike those affidavits. They just did that yesterday.
Yeah, okay. Well, go look at that local rule and see what it says so you see whether they're on solid ground or whether they're blowing smoke.
Yeah, that only makes sense to me. I always knew that affidavit had to be notarized.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, that's all I want. I'm not going to waste your time no more with it. I'm just curious. That was just crazy.
Okay.
One other thing. Are these affidavits coming in from out of state?
Yes.
Okay, check the rules on that also, because some states require that they not only be notarized, but they have to be certified by an officer of the court in the local jurisdiction from which they came.
Gotcha.
So check on that also.
Gotcha. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Alrighty.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
And the final thing with that, if they filed those and they're not sworn to in front of a notary, then they're frivolous filings and it can fall under Rule 11 sanctions.
Okay, great. I'll look into that. Appreciate it.
All righty. Yep. Look real carefully at that local rule, though. Okay.
Absolutely.
Let's go to 517. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We sure can. We got you loud and clear.
Okay. Good, good. Yeah, I'm looking for financials on a judge, and I went to the site, and, I'm backing up right now. And
don't run into anything.
On your, pardon?
Don't run into anything. You said you're backing up.
Oh, I yeah, I'm looking at the table of contents for the CFR, and under Title 20, would it be under Title 28, Judicial Administration?
No, you go to the Office of Financial. No, you don't, it's the Office. Which one is it? For the judges, you got it's in your state office. What is it, Larry? Help me out.
Ethics.
Ethics, yeah, the Office of Ethics for
judicial
the state.
Ethics.
Something like that. That's where they have to file them. So get out of the CFR. You don't need to be messing with that.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
that's not
going
to tell you where to find it.
And this Office of Ethics, does this pertain to federal judges, U.S. district judges?
No. I don't know where the U.S. I think the U.S. District judges have their stuff right there at the courthouse, do they not, Larry? I don't think it's that much work to go find those guys.
Yeah, you should be able to get it from the website. If not, they'll tell you how to do it.
Oh, I should be able to get it from the U.S. District what website, you think?
Yeah, right there, your local district site,
side of the
local one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What would that be under? Would it be under the actual judge's name?
Yes, I believe so. Just go up there. Look at your
local
website.
I think I've gotten
right there.
Judge's financial information just from clicking on there.
Oh, okay, good. All right, well, let me try
that
out. And if not, I'll put something on the forum to remind you. Okay?
Okay, yeah, you just got to do some research, do some homework. If nothing else, call the court clerk and ask.
Okay, good deal. Thank you, guys.
All righty. You bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to 703. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm back again. I have two questions. Can I file dismiss the case again?
What do you mean, dismiss a case?
Are you talking a
motion to dismiss?
Yes. I did one, and this is going to be the second one.
I don't know whether that's going to get you anywhere. It depends on why they dismissed, why they denied your motion on the first one.
Because
I would say if you already did one, that you're probably not going to get another bite at the apple.
Okay. And how about the quiet title claim is going to help me? Is going to help me or not?
No, not right now. Yeah, don't mess with that.
No.
Not right now?
No.
No, no.
Nope. You're not even close to being in a position to do that.
Okay, but I have to find a reason to ask for dismiss again.
Yeah,
well, you have to have a
title.
Solid basis for it, yeah. But, yeah, quiet title doesn't even enter into that at all.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Let's go to 478. See if we can get a couple more in here before the end of the call. 478, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Were you unmuting me?
Well, look who got here. Yeah, I didn't. That's right. I didn't recognize your number. Well, you know.
Just walked in.
Oh, well, see how you are. Trying to sneak up on me. That's
well,
what
I
friends
Skyped
do, right?
Well, I asked and told him I was here.
Yeah, well, you didn't Skype me, and I'm the one that's running things, so shame on you. That's all right. I'll give you your lashes with a wet noodle later. All right, we're going to go. We've got another caller, maybe Skype or unidentified number, 11111. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Hello, I just heard somebody coughing there.
Oh, that's me. I don't know why it says 111. I'm on a regular landline from New Hampshire.
Well, I don't know. I'm seeing 111, but go ahead with your question.
All right. I'm filing a case this week, which is phone calls, FDCPA, and various states. And I'm also bringing in a FDCPA complaint. And one of the questions I had was, if there were, let's say, five phone calls and each one was a violation of the FDCPA, do I get one liability or five?
Well, you can't stack. You can't stack FDCPA in one lawsuit.
So I'd have to file five lawsuits.
And
no,
then
they're
going to
get rid of it anyway.
You run the risk that they would, you run the risk if you file five lawsuits that they're going to combine them.
That's right.
I see.
And you got a lot of excessive filing fees and stuff, so. Generally, you're going to figure you're going to get the money for each individual call and then $1,000 for FDCPA.
Right. Right. Thanks.
Okay. That all you needed?
All right, Bam.
That's all I needed.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Let's see. I think we got time for maybe another call here yet. Let's go to 347. 347, we got a nice hum on
you. Terrible. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. Yes. My case is actually it's a foreclosure. I was actually working with a gentleman actually on a pro se with a Waterfall Victoria Master Fund. And we had got it dismissed in July of 2012. And unfortunately, they sold the note. A gentleman came in and said that he was the purchaser of the note, changed the locks and stuff like that, and, alert the tenants that we should send the funds to him. I didn't feel like I could have handled it, so I took it to an attorney, and he was supposed to do a securitization and audit, and didn't really do anything, and now they're hitting me with that they had a judgment for a sale this coming, I think the 31st of this month. So I'm trying to think if I should go back to an attorney or if I should just go ahead and,
you were represented by an attorney during this period of time that this happened?
Yeah, well, when they came in and changed the locks, then I went back and got him to take the file to him. He said he was going to sue them, of course, because they purchased the note and they didn't go through evictions or anything like that. But they
just because they purchased the note doesn't mean that they have a foreclosure.
That's right.
If they want to foreclose, they have to start from scratch on a foreclosure. You've got to be served and it's got to go through the procedure. It has to be adjudicated and everything else. They can't just come on your property and change the locks. That's trespassing.
Right. Well, that's what I had him try to go ahead and make the assessment of getting the judge to throw out the foreclosure. Because what I think...
But wait a minute. You're saying you throw out what foreclosure?
Well, the guys that actually filed the first time, which is Victoria.
Whoever they were. Yeah, you said you got that dismissed.
Yeah, but they came back, I guess, with the same index numbers and everything, and then filed again January of this year, I think it was. So when I went back...
You didn't know they did that?
Yes, when we went back, he was supposed to file against them. We served them. We served them the notice back in.
What do you mean? You're not giving us a good description of what has happened. It's hard for us to follow. You say he. Are you saying your attorney?
Right, the attorney.
Your attorney.
Right.
They sued you.
Mm-hmm.
They well, to clarify, they sued you, and then your attorney was doing what? You turned around to sue them or what?
Right. Well, it looks like he filed here on March 27th asking
filed
them
what?
For notice. Well, he asked them for the proof of claim, I guess validation, which was more or less like a QWR that he was sending out to them. And I guess they came back on,
I'm assuming the lawyer didn't tell you what he was doing, or her, or whoever it was.
And no, he didn't.
And you didn't ask?
Well, I did ask which one he would go after, which would be Waterfall or the gentleman that bought the note. And it wasn't clarified because I didn't thought that he'd come back in on the same index number. I thought they would have to.
You didn't keep up with what the attorney was doing. It sounds to me like you hired an attorney and he's just kind of done whatever he feels like doing.
Right.
And hasn't kept you informed.
What action can I do anything as far as...
We can barely hear you because of the really loud humming sound.
Yeah, okay. Would I be able to do anything, bring in the suit against the bank for dismissal?
We don't have any kind of a clear picture of what has transpired in your situation from what you've told us. It's quite frankly, I'm quite confused. What I would suggest you do is try coming on Terry's call tomorrow night to discuss this further and see if we can get some clarity for you.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure you get a clear connection, though.
All right. Well,
yeah, because the hum that's on your phone is terrible. We have a very hard time hearing you.
And you need to go over the paperwork that was filed so that you know what was done and when and who did it.
Yeah. But I'm going to make the announcement here just momentarily because we got to end the call for Terry's call tomorrow night. So please pay attention to that. Come on there, and we'll see if we can give you some guidance, okay?
Okay, we'll do.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right. And with that, we've got to wrap it up for tonight. Thanks to everybody for joining us. And, of course, now, as I just mentioned, there is a call tomorrow night. It's Terry's call. If you are not on Terry's mailing list or email list, please send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Simply say, please put me on the list, and she'll get it out to you. Don't wait till tomorrow afternoon right before the call and do it because you won't get the reminder. Do it now, please. Give her the courtesy of having it done in time. Her call starts at 8 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow night. And we do have a webinar tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern, and I believe Terry is going to be doing that. Terry, you want to make a real fast comment on what you're covering tomorrow? Maybe she's not there. Okay. But anyway, there is the weekly webinar at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And you're invited to join us on that. Then, of course, on Monday night is Dallas Death Discussion. That is on TalkShoe.com. The PIN number for that is 54318, and that starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. So there's lots of support out there, but these calls are not a substitute for you being a member of the site. This is only bits and pieces. The real information in its entirety and in an organized form is in the website, and there's more than you can ever imagine. So jump in there. There's a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no risk to you whatsoever. So if you don't do it, the only problem is you. So, Jesse, you got any parting words?
No, that's it. Just want to thank all our moderators. As usual, guys, thank you for joining us. And try to follow up with all these calls, guys. Every call serves its purpose. Who's doing the webinar tomorrow off the top of your head? You know, is it John?
I believe it was Terry. I believe it's Terry.
Terry? Okay. So, guys, don't miss whatever questions you have that are FCR-related. Make sure you jump in there for tomorrow. But other than that, God bless everybody. Have a great night. Dave, again, thank you for hosting. Happy birthday, my friend. Thank you very much. Have some cookies coming when we get back. So.
Oh, well, hey, know. twist my arm.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Good enough, buddy. We will talk to you guys tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Have a great night. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you much. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow night on Terry's Call.
Talk to you.